Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lou Need, and today I have another doctor on board, and we are going to talk about all things mental health and overall wellness. And so today on the show, we're going to have Dr. Shayna Ali. She is a licensed mental health counselor, a national certified counselor at that, and an approved clinical supervisor. So she is dedicated to making sure others understand the importance of mental health. So she's just fostering happiness, fulfillment all around. And she's using the platform Mental Health to actually do that. And her as a self, as a wife, a mother, you know, has been in that journey, striving for growth. And I think a lot of us go into psychology because we want to heal ourselves and then heal others. And so I'm really excited to dive into this conversation with her. So with no further ado, Dr. Shayna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Lumine.
Yes, yes. It's an honor, such a pleasure to have another psychologist on board. So let's dive in. As I mentioned earlier, like, I know I got into it because I wanted to do some healing, heal some trauma from my childhood. Tell us about your reasoning for getting into mental health.
You know, I really find what you said insightful. I haven't met another, you know, so for me as a licensed mental health counselor and counselor educator, I really haven't met anyone that found themselves in the field saying, I don't want to heal myself and then heal others. So I'd be really interested to hear if someone is actually the outlier, because I agree with you. My journey is similar in that way. You know, if you asked me 20 years ago, do I want to be a counselor educator or licensed mental health counselor? I don't think I would have even had the darndest idea that that was an interest of mine. I didn't value mental health for most of my life. And now looking back, I know I didn't understand it, right? So I didn't know what I know now. And at that time, I was really struggling with my own mental health, but not noticing it pretty much for most of my life now that I look back at it. And it was in my college years that I really started to realize, not just do I have mental health concerns, but I have an anxiety disorder and I might be high functioning, but a mental health problem is a mental health problem at the end of the day. And it started to make me really intrigued about, like, what is this discrepancy between mental and physical health? You know, like, why do we treat mental health with so much stigma? It's so rampant versus, you know, if someone has another serious physical condition, we don't tend to do that. That started my curiosities and my own healing journey. And that's what made me pursue my master's in mental health counseling. And in that program, you know, as an individual who I think has a lot of diverse identities in one, I realized, you know, there's a lot of people like me who have so much stigma surrounding them that they won't seek the help they need. And it was around that time I became really passionate about practical mental wellness and culturally responsive mental health. And I guess the rest is history. That was what made me go back and get the PhD and open my practice and write the self-love workbook or the more recent Designing Healthy Boundaries book. That's pretty much my life now.
Yeah, no, you're a total advocate, because I was just going to say it is taboo in certain cultures. I know it is in mine still. I'm not going to say I'm from Haiti. And so we don't talk about mental health. There's depression. It's running havoc, you know, throughout the culture. But it's this seeking help or going to talk to somebody about it. That is taboo. And a lot of people are not responsive to it or don't know where to begin. I mean, especially if there's a language barrier, too.
Absolutely, the language barrier. And, you know, from looking at a lot of different approaches across the world towards mental health and counseling at large, it's really interesting that lots of cultures, like the stigma is worldwide, but mm-hmm. there's nuances to that. And you bring up something in your culture that's similar in Guyanese American culture too, or Guyanese culture at large. We could even span West Indians, Caribbean. But yeah. again, the point is, if you can't even talk about it, right? If the culture tells you it's not even okay to talk about, you can't even begin to think about who am I going to talk to? Where am I going to seek help? So being able to talk about it is just that baseline foundation that we have to work on.
Yeah. And in the Western culture, they're becoming more open to it where, you know, mental health day, you know, having that ability to just say, you know, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to want to seek out the help and talk to people about it. And if that doesn't happen, and we know that you revert to something else, there's a void, there's an emptiness that needs to be filled. And so we do so with alcohol, we do so with drugs, with other unhealthy habits to actually fulfill that need. And that becomes detrimental. It just adds on to the catastrophe that's already unraveling, right?
Absolutely. It's an understandable spiral. And again, I see a lot of that across culture, starting with we need to be able to talk about it. And we need to challenge a lot of the taboo that exists, that's all encapsulated in misunderstandings about mental health too.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree with you. So let's talk about, you have your own practice now and you are thriving and helping tons of people with their mental health. And how's that, what kind of individuals that you see come in, and how does that help them become better individuals, whether they want to start a business? They could have that mental blockage, right? That just they don't know what it is, but it is like the key to their freedom.
Absolutely. And I keep it in mind that there's a certain type of person who gets past that threshold to come into the office. So some part of them already has that inkling and motivation that mental health is important, but they're representative of a wider culture of people being suspicious about whether mental health matters, right? Mm-hmm. And I like to say that I belong to the mental wellness movement. And as a part of that, I believe that mental health is something we all have. And the importance of fostering it is important for each and every one of us. It may look different from person to person, and our needs may vary, but we all need it. So based on that normalization, that's really important in my work, I see people from all walks of life. So I do specialize in anxiety, identity, trauma, and self-love. However, and those I see as all integrated, mm-hmm. by the way, however, I've seen people from different faith groups, age brackets, socioeconomic statuses across the board, because again, there's that unifying aspect of mental wellness is important for each and every one of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And deserving. We deserve it too.
Absolutely. And we're worthy of it just as we are, right? So if it's a part of our health, we are all worthy of being well and pursuing that well-being. And that's something that, regardless of the client who comes in and what we're working with, that's something that I try to convey for each and every person. And I hope that everyone listening realizes that they're worthy of that too.
You deserve it. You're worthy of it. You're worthy to live your happiest life, right? As your motto is, that fulfilling life. You're worthy to have these healthy conversations with your husband, with your wife, you with your family members. I think a lot of times our relationships suffer because we are stuck.
Absolutely. And that actually really brings me into the notion. A lot of people ask, you know, your passion about mental wellness, where did the self-love aspect come from? And it's exactly what you just mentioned, is I think a lot of times we think self-love is unimportant and we have myths about what we, you know, stories we tell ourselves about what self-love yeah. is. But the true self-love is investing in yourself as if you were investing in a loved one, because mm-hmm. when you are better able to hold any of those roles, partner, parent, sibling, teacher, whatever the role is, you are better if you're taking care of yourself. And if we all ascribe to that and invested in that to the capacity that we are capable, I truly believe our world could look different.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you said you gotta be able to take care of yourself. There's a quote that says, talk to yourself as if you're talking to a loved one.
Yes.
We so willingly put others first and forget about us. And I think that's what embodies the morning routine, is putting yourself first so that you can show up better for other people. So tell us how you have shown up, you know, being in that space. How has helped you show up as a mother and as a wife? I have a 3-month-old now, and I know, like, I feel like I did all the work so that I can be better mother, even a better wife, right? So tell us how has that happened for you.
Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you. What an exciting phase
and a really important phase for mental wellness. You know, I really appreciate this question as well, because it made me think of, you know, how has it shown up as a mother and as a wife? And like, it's hard for me to extract, because I was a mental health provider long before I became a wife and a mother, right? So it's hard to imagine, but then I sit with, wow, what if I wasn't, right? How different could I show up in this world, and especially in the two most important roles to me? And like you said, I am so glad that I've done a lot of work on self-awareness, reflection, regulating my anxiety, self-care, coping, et cetera, to be able to be better for myself and then be able to show up for my loved ones, especially my husband and my child as well. But everyone in my life, my clients, right? My family members, my friends, my community, to be able to show up here with you today. So it's hard to kind of separate it, because truly I live and breathe mental wellness. That doesn't mean I am well every day. What it means is I deeply believe in it, and I am passionate about trying to be as well as I can within my context in order to better show up for others. So I think it's made a huge impact in these roles.
Yeah, absolutely. And I cannot agree anymore. It's so true. So what are some of the habits to help you show up well, even though some days you don't wake up feeling 100%, but you know that you want to believe it? What are some things that you do in terms of your morning routine to help get you there?
Yeah, you know, Dr. Laney, that's so interesting, because now we're talking about this transition in matrescence and becoming a mother and how routines shift, right? Yeah. I was thinking about how pre-becoming a mother, my routine would look different. Pre-becoming a wife, my routine would look different. And they're all effective based on the context of my life, right? Like, I was thinking about 10 years ago, I would have a lot of the stereotypical effective morning routines, you know, up as soon as my eyes open, give myself some time to center, and then I'm up at it, at the gym, you know, making a smoothie, coming back, block working, all those stereotypical things. And the context of my life, you know, living with another human being, which I love, taking care of another now, you know, small human being, that has shifted a lot. So it's interesting that you ask this, because a lot of the things I share that are important for my effective morning routine today are not things that I needed in the past, but have become critical for me because my routine is important for me, my family as well, right? So I appreciate that, first of all. But it's interesting, because in order to have an effective morning routine personally, it actually starts the night before.
Okay.
And I invest a lot in my wind down routine every evening. I basically have a bedtime these days because I take my sleep hygiene really seriously. I've learned that that's helped to, you know, allow me a somatic rest, but also a mental wellness rest as well. And getting that quality 6 to 8 hours of sleep is what allows me to then jumpstart my morning routine.
Yeah.
An example I can give you for that is not this week, because my son's been waking up overnight, which is affecting both my husband and I, and that's just the reality. But a few weeks ago, because I had invested in my sleep hygiene and wind down routine at night to get quality sleep, my body was naturally waking me up at 5 a.m. every single day, naturally.
It happens.
I sat there. Yes. And I noticed that, okay, this is an interesting moment, because every routine across time, I've given myself a moment to kind of convene with myself in the morning, right? So my eyes open, take a moment. And I sat there thinking, okay, I should, right? Quotes, I should go back to sleep because it's too early. And then I realized, well, what am I drawn to do right now? And how do I feel? So if I check in, I'm like, I'm energized at 5 a.m. So it's actually counterproductive for me to force myself back in until, you know, 6 or 7 or whatever time. So I started to use that. And I find that to be a really important conveyance of like, that's different from this week, but it's the same routine of establishing rest the night before and checking in with myself. That's something that it has been really consistent in this phase of life and has been really helpful to then jumpstart, you know, recording my own podcast at 5 a.m. in the morning or answering emails or making breakfast for myself or my family, all those things too.
Yeah, it changes depending on the season of your life. And I love that you said it changed when you were a wife, it changed when you were married, when you got married, it changed when you had your baby. And that is so true. Depending on the season of life, it's going to vary. And however, the consistency, knowing that you have to just do something for you, like you check in to see what will work. What do I need to do at this moment? How am I feeling? That's important.
Huge for me. And I think a lot of times when people hear routine, they get a little intimidated by the idea of I must do this every day. And there's some of that, right? There's healthy habits and there's some psychology to that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
from a mental wellness paradigm, I think what's most important above the habit is why is the habit important to you in the first place, right? So what is the meaning? What is the purpose of that? So if mine is to be well and be effective throughout the day, then sometimes if my body jumps me up and says, let's go, it's 5 a.m., it's quiet, record that podcast, that's actually a really good thing, right?
Yeah. So good use of your time.
Right. It wasn't counterproductive for that spurt of time that it was happening for me. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah, very, very productive, because then you have the quiet moments to yourself. Then you can actually think and get the day going. What are some non-negotiables for you? I know myself, it's getting up, meditating for 5, 10 minutes, and then working out to kind of get the blood flow going. What are some for you?
You know, non-negotiable, man, I guess the one like consistent non-negotiable is that check-in I offer myself in the morning. Is as soon as my eyes open, I check in with like, where are we? What are we doing today? How are you feeling, right? Emotionally, physically, all of the things. How are you feeling? And what does that mean for what our next step is? So a really intentional check-in has been consistent regardless of those seasons and phases. Mm-hmm. That's been a really important aspect. Now, I'd say within the past 2 years, also really close to non-negotiable. It's negotiable, but it's really close to non-negotiable. It's that night before. I found for me that if I want to have a good next day, and especially if I had a bad day, right? Even if I had a bad day, that transition in that night routine helps me to let go of that day and prep the best I can. So it doesn't bleed into the next day. And now I'm breaking these habits or goals or intentions.
Smart. Very smart. That is sound advice. Thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of us can actually resonate with that and take that as a takeaway for us to use. Tell us some more about the importance, you know, with mental health. Affirmations are big. Affirmations sometimes in the morning routine when you get up or before you go to bed, what you're listening to, because we're feeding these senses and it goes straight to the subconscious mind to reprogram old habits, old just damaging thoughts that wasn't still not necessarily all yours, but you somehow picked it up somewhere along the way and it becomes ingrained and it should kind of direct your path and your behavior. Tell us the importance of affirmations and how we speak to ourselves, you know, like that you checking in the morning, that's you talking to yourself, that's you showing kind and grace towards yourself in the morning and also at night.
Absolutely. Affirmations, or whatever you would like to call them. Some people call them mantras, some people call them power statements, whatever it is, they are very empowering because they are the things we say to ourselves to encourage, motivate, inspire ourselves. So they're really impactful statements of alignment. Now, I would like to dig a little bit deeper because I think the average listener might understand that part and then may also say, but I've struggled with affirmations. Sometimes they're easier said than done. And sometimes I'm saying them, but I don't believe them, which goes into that rewiring that you were talking about. Yeah. And I think that if we're having these thoughts a lot in that inner dialogue, it's not just about throwing these positive affirmations all the time. It's also checking the trend, right? how does that affirmation sit with us? Does our body warmly receive it? Does it cause friction? Does it cause discomfort? Because those are signs of deeper work that needs to be done. Maybe not in the morning routine, right? But throughout our days, is that there's something here to address. It might be messages from other people, our loved ones, society. Maybe they are messages from ourselves. However, if we can target that deeper inner dialogue, then we're able to make space for those affirmations. So what I'm essentially talking about there is affirmations are great, and it's a nice key way. If you are struggling with affirmations, you are not alone. It just means that there's deeper self-work to be done in terms of self-love.
And that's where mental health comes in. That's where you will seek the guidance of someone to actually deeper to be able to unravel some stuff that's built up there.
Yeah. And I want to normalize that, you know, especially for me as a counselor. And one of the differences, you know, the roles between counseling, and for some listeners, it may be confusing, counseling, psychology, psychiatry. But I also believe that you can be well and also still pursue counseling to continue to grow. And I think that stigma that we were talking about makes people think, I can't go to counseling because I have a job and I'm doing okay and I'm making an income. Lots of other people have it worse. And then we do this comparison and it makes us think we cannot also grow. And the paradigm that I operate from in terms of mental wellness is actually you can be doing well. And if you're recognizing, but I can do better, right? I can speak kindly to myself. There are some traumas that I still have that I could benefit from addressing. I want to improve my relationships or my mood. Yeah, if you can do better, then counseling can be for you too. It's not just this idea of a specific person who therapy looks like who needs to be in therapy. Those stereotypes and those tropes are unhelpful for us.
You could be well and still functioning, but just there's always room for improvement is how I see it. The same way you're emphasizing. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
The goal is to show up better. You want to get up, dress up, and show up every day in every area, in every moment of your life. And how do you do so? You got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of heal. You got to heal properly. I truly appreciate it. Dr. Shauna, I want to give you an opportunity. Tell us, how can we connect with you? Where can we find you?
So if you want to reach out generally, you can reach out at my website, drshauna.com. If you want to connect on social, you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Shauna. And I just launched my own podcast as well, The Mental Wellness Practice.
Very nice. So we can find you wherever we're listening to this one. And Dr. Shauna.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's been a delight. Before you go, Dr. Shauna, I would love to hear a quote you want to leave the audience with.
Oh, wow. A quote. You know, I don't know if this would count as a quote, but it's been on my heart and mind lately. And it's been about self-care. And I think that that overlaps a lot with effective morning routines. And I know we have different versions of self-care. So I'd like to share my wording about self-care in case that helps as a quote for someone to better take care of themselves. And that self-care is the active practice of accepting, caring for, encouraging, and tending to your needs in the present context. So with all of that being said, I hope that listeners will be able to make space for both self-care and self-love after they're done listening with the podcast today.
I love that. That was very touching. It's compassion towards the self. It's putting you first. It's graceful. Just as we care for our kids, now we have babies, that acceptance, that compassion towards them is kind of bring it back. See if you can bring it towards you. Take that love towards inward and see how much better you show up in the world.
Absolutely, because you're not taking it from anyone by giving it to you. You're giving to them better by giving it to you.
There it is. That's it right there. Yep, mic drop right there. I love that.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lunita. I really appreciate your time.
Yes, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us again.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.